Hey everybody, happy new year! It's 2016 and we are back, H10 Hanshin Tigers English News. I'm your host as always, T-Ray, and with me, my faithful co-host out in Yamaguchi near Hiroshima is...
The Wizzo.
Happy New Year, Wiz. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, happy New Year. And actually, man, it's been a couple weeks since we talked. I mean, we texted, but that's about it. So hope you had a good New Year.
Yeah, man. Actually, it was really good. You know, I just like this time of year. It's kind of a chance to restart. And I just kind of feel like everything resets. And I felt really positive again right at the start of the year. And that positive feeling still hasn't gone away. So everything's going well, man. How about you out there? Is it cold there? Or you doing okay?
It started getting cold today. The wind is getting really cold. So that was a eye-opener today, you know, waking up, seeing your breath a little bit inside the house. You know, New Year's didn't start off very well for myself, but, you know, as you know, I'm a big football fan, so the Steelers made the playoffs, which is good. Nice. We have a game tomorrow. And the biggest thing, and should I tell people what I got in the mail?
Yeah, go for it, man. You can boast about it right off the top. Go.
Okay. So I was real happy to get the mail yesterday. And inside of it are two officially autographed pictures. I'm sorry, baseball cards with Randy Messenger on them.
See, man, I'm happy for you. But at the same time, you owe me one of those. And you know it.
So two Randy Messenger officially autographed baseball cards.
That's great,
cards,
man.
And them to me is great. I can't thank her enough for them. So that really made my week, you know, that much better with all the hecticness, you know, with all the craziness going on.
Well, let me just say, if anybody out there wants to send me some Randy Messenger autographed cards, anyone listening, I would be happy to receive some as well. But if not, that's fine. Hey, congratulations, Wiz. That's awesome. Hey, just before we jump into the main program here, do you have any New Year's resolutions for 2016?
You know, I posted that I want to, I don't really have resolutions. I just have a key word, determined. Mm-hmm. Just to be determined in whatever I do, whether it's work, school, it's determined. So there's a lot of things I've been thinking about and I'm like, you know what? I got to get this done. And I've been forcing myself to get them done.
So
I don't have resolutions. It's just using that.
So it's like a New Year's slogan, kind of like the Tigers, Cho Henkaku, but yours is determination. Well, that's great, man. That's good.
Yeah, what's yours?
Actually, you know what? I have put on a little bit of weight lately, so I've got to drop some of that. I've got to get a little bit more active. But my main, it's not even a resolution again, it's just kind of more a goal. But my main goal is I just want H10 to be the best English service to baseball fans in Japan out of any of the 12 teams and in the history of NPB coverage in Japan. So let's see if we can get it done. Wizzo, on today's show, we've got a special guest coming to us from the other side of the world, and we're going to be talking to him in just a minute. And also, we're just going to look ahead to 2016 and, you know, what do we think is going to happen and what are some resolutions that we would throw at some of the players. So, folks, stick around. We're going to be right back after the music ends. Catch you in a bit. All right, Wizzo, as promised, we've got a special guest on the line here, and I'm going to let him introduce himself real quick. So, special guest, the floor is yours.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Yeah. Hey, what's up?
Hey.
Good.
Yeah, so my name is Fernando. I'm from Brazil. I'm a big Hanshin Tigers fan since, I think, 2011. And so far... I've been following them, and I'm glad I'm a Hanshin Tigers. I know it's hard to be a Hanshin Tiger fan, but I don't know. I think it's just I wouldn't support any other team. You know, it's just I don't know. It's just the passion. You know, it's about love. You gotta really, I don't know, you gotta really love the team, you know. It's just I just cannot explain. It's something that I really relate to.
Well, now I'm curious though, Fernando, like, did somebody introduce you to the Tigers, or did you kind of look at the whole league and all 12 teams and say, this is my team? Or like, how did that work out? Like, how did you choose the Tigers, or how did the Tigers choose you?
Right. So the thing is, when I started playing baseball in Brazil, it was pretty much, it was like I was 10 years old, and I remember seeing my coaches, were, like, they were wearing Sable Lions, actually, and Giants caps. So it wasn't, it wasn't pretty much like, you're not used to see that much American caps at the time. So that was in my mind the whole time, you know, like, so Sable Lions, they had that blue with the lion, you know, cap. So that I just, that was something that kept in my mind, you know. So when I grew up, and that was something very, very unique, you know. So for me at the time, I only knew that I think it was the Dodgers and Giants, right, back in America. So, but when I started playing again in 2009, I found like sources of how I could manage to watch those teams, because I remember from back in the time, right? So the internet was good. I had access to watch those games, right? So I start following the American teams, basically the Red Sox, and then I started looking at the teams that I knew back then, right? So it was like, okay, so the team that I most recognized was the Sable Lions. So I went, I started looking for them, but it wasn't it wasn't much like, well, I didn't have that connection with the team. It was just one team that I knew it was good, because I think it's the second most successful team in Japan. So I knew the Giants, I knew the Lions, but I didn't have that much connection. So I started looking for other teams at the time. So it was really hard for me to find information. I mean, like, translated information, right? So you actually could watch some games. It was kind of a hard thing to do, because everything is in Japanese. So I had the knowledge of Japanese at the time. So I started looking for information in English, and so I could embrace more the thing, right? So as I do for my teams in America, but I didn't have that much of a. I couldn't find that much information for Japanese teams, and that was really frustrating. You know, even for and for the Lions, it was almost impossible. But even if you look at the merchandise, you actually can find more things about the Hanshin Tigers. And every time that I was looking for something that I from the Sable Lions. And I found more things about Hanshin. So I started looking at, so what about these Hanshin Tigers, you know? So I started talking with some friends of mine that used to play baseball too. And some of them were Hanshin Tigers fan. So I start talking to them, you know, like making some little research about the team, you know, and they they were really into that, you know. They were really fanatics. They really loved the Hanshin Tigers, because they were actually Japanese, so they knew more about the team than I do at the time.
Sure.
So, okay, so if there are Hanshin Tigers, let's check. No, right, so I start checking things, and start trying to read some material, and it was kind of it was easier, because there's like fans in France, there's friends throughout the Europe, And it's easier to find that kind of information about the Hanshin Tigers than any other team. So
probably they've got a lot more of a worldwide audience, I think, than the other teams, I would say.
Yeah, for sure. So and there was this thing also, because I'm a Red Sox fan, and there is actually this kind of a rivalry between the Giants and the Tigers. And you can actually relate that to the Yanks and the Red Sox. So I used to read a lot of things about the Tigers being the Red Sox of Japan, or even the Cubs. I don't think it's that mm-hmm. much, you know, like, but it's, I would say like they are the Red Sox of Japan. So I relate to that like in a minute. So I think, okay, so that makes sense, because for me, the Giants, I never liked them. You know, even not knowing them that much, it was the same feeling for the Yankees. You know, I knew like everyone was in a frenzy and about the Yankees. You know, like all the time. You know, like my entire life, Yankees, Yankees, Yankees. But I never relate to that. You know, so
you just kind of get that sick feeling in your stomach, right? Like that's what I get when I hear about the Yankees, or when I see like if I see the Yomiuri Giants having any success, I just kind of get sick to my stomach, even if they're not beating the Tigers. I feel like whoever they're beating, I just get mad.
Yeah,
that's
right.
I don't know about you, Wiz, but...
No, it's... Yeah.
Yeah, I when it comes to the New York Yankees, Stankies is what I call them. I do not like the Yankees at all, but, you know, you made a great analogy there comparing, you know, the Tigers and the Giants, and I'm like you. You know, I'm not that old, you know, when it comes to being a Hanshin Tigers fan, but, you know, you said 2011, so you probably see a lot of good and bad from the Hanshin Tigers. You know, any good things like stand out as far as the differences between them in 2011 to now?
Actually, it's hard to tell, because 2011, I can't really remember that good, you know. I remember very clearly 2012. 2012, I would say it was a very good year. But it was the thing. All these years since the Climax Series came up, it was pretty much like always failing in some of stage of the Climax Series, you know. In 2012, I really thought they would beat Hiroshima, you know, in the first stage, but they didn't. So I think it was like that. So it came up like to 2014, that was the year that Trevor showed up, and that was a really good year, you know. That's the only year from the start that I start rooting for them. 2014 was the best year for sure, you know, because they always have like ups and downs, but it's they at that time they have more ups than downs, right? So it's like I remember in the time that I start following them, it was like, okay, so they have like a lot of like wins like in a row, you know, like a lot of win streaks, series streaks, you know. So but then they like just, I don't know, it just they just collapse, you know, like they go down all the way and then they got back all the way. It's so crazy, you know. They don't have like that they are not stable.
Consistency?
You know.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let me ask you this, Fernando. Who was your favorite player when you started watching, or who is your favorite player now? Like, do you have any players that you really root for more than others?
Yeah, I remember actually my jersey, my first Tigers jersey is from Kenji Jojima.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I have something with catchers, you know, catchers and first baseman, and at the time I really liked the way I think Jojima is I think he's legendary, you know. He used to play for the Mariners. He was the first Japanese catcher to play in America, and mm-hmm. so for me, what he was like, to be to watch him play, it was awesome, you know, like to know that he has some, no, he's playing for the Tigers. It's unbelievable. I know he used to play for Dye Hawks. He was like, he beat us actually in the Nippon series. And I know, like, he was like such a good player, you know. So for me, it was like Yojima for sure. That was my favorite player at the time. And
how about now?
Right now, it's hard because I really like underrated players. You know, I really like, I would say, like dirt dogs. You know, so for me, if I would, it's like I really like Toritani. You know, I really like. I would say like for a foreign, I would say Messenger. That's my favorite player. But if I was to choose a Japanese player, I would choose Yamato. I really like him, you know. And I don't really think that he should change positions, you know. I think he should stay in center field because I think he's a really good player. He's a dirt dog, and I don't really think he's, I don't know. Let the second base for Uemoto or even Nishioka. I don't really think he should go there. You know, he's playing very well in center field. I don't think he has to go to switch play, switch positions just to make, I don't know, just to make sure that he's gonna stay in the team or to show up more. I don't think that's the case. You know, But I don't know. It's just my opinion, you know.
Yeah, sure. Well, we're going to talk about that a little bit later, just getting into who we think should play at which position or whatever. But, yeah, it's good to hear some of those things. And I don't know if you noticed, but as you mentioned, your favorite players, particularly Toritani and even Messenger, Wizzo pumped his fist and he was grinning ear to ear like, yeah, those are my boys too. So yeah. You guys see eye to eye on that, hey, Wiz?
Yep.
Well, you know, I like Toritani. You know, he's the captain. Good player, you know, solid. You know, Messenger is now my favorite player. Just kidding. You know, I like as a pitcher. Messenger
is not a Tiger anymore.
But you know, it's I was about to say, yeah, O is no longer a Tiger, so I gotta pick a new person. So
sure.
I think Messenger slipped right in there. I'm good.
Yeah, man. All right, cool. Well, Fernando, thank you for joining us. And I just have one more question before we kind of end our intro to our favorite fan in Brazil. Fernando, what do you think, what place will the Tigers finish in 2016?
So I'm gonna go with the guys that you interviewed previously, you know. I would say I'm going with them in second place. I wouldn't go with them in first place because it's Kanemoto's first year. It's always like a year that he's actually finding himself as a manager. I wouldn't say he's going for the top like in his first year. I don't believe that. And but at the same time, it can be like the, I don't know, it can happen, you know. Like I think if you're gonna compare like the 2013 Red Sox, it was pretty much like them, you know, like they had like this new team. It's not a new team, but it's I mean the Tigers, but they have a new manager. At the time was Farrell, and they were everyone, the media was saying that they were probably gonna end up in last place in the division. They're not gonna reach the playoffs, and it was like totally the opposite. But so it can happen. It can happen that they're gonna play like their best baseball because they have the motivation now that they used not to have with WADA. But I don't know. It's hard to tell. You know, I don't think it's gonna be an easy year. You know, it's not gonna be. I think it's gonna be hard, you know, a lot of changes.
Sure.
So I think maybe in second place, and I don't know, they're gonna make to the final stage of the Climax Series, probably.
Okay. Interesting. You know, just a point of reference, last season, the Tokyo Yakult Swallows had a first-year manager as well, and so did the SoftBank Hawks. Granted, they had an extremely strong team that was inherited by their new manager, but both of the teams that made it to the Nippon Series were managed by first-year guys, so it's not impossible for Kanemoto to do the same. We'll see. You know, that really remains to be seen. Anyways, it was nice kind of being introduced to you, Fernando, and just to give you a little bit of a plug or a pat on the back, and just for the people out there that maybe aren't aware of this, Fernando is the guy who helped design the new H10 logo, which you can see now on the Hanshin Tigers English News page on Facebook. It's not part of the group, but just part of the page. You can see it there. Fernando put a lot of hard work into that, and it looks great. I love it. So thank you so much. And also, he did some infographic work for me in the 2014 playoff run, and we're looking to put something together again for 2016. So, Fernando, it's been great being a fellow Hanshin Tiger fan with you, and also just all the support you've given to H10 over the past 18 months that we've been in existence. Man, I really appreciate it. So thanks for joining us today. It's great to have you on the show.
Thank you, guys. Thanks. It's a pleasure. Always, you can count on me for anything. So let's go, Hanshin.
Good stuff. Yeah, for sure. Well, listen, Fernando, stick around. We're going to talk a little bit more about 2016 and what our hopes are, or what we think maybe some of these players need to do to change their ways. Hopefully we'll give Wizzo a bit more airtime as well. sorry, Wiz.
Hey, I enjoy listening because I, you know, especially Fernando, first time actually talking to him, you know, it's good to hear his side and where he comes from, because, you know, normally it's just me and you. So I like to sit back and listen because it makes me think more.
For sure. Well, it's good to have a third voice on the show. Anyways, getting back to what I was saying, on today's show, I want to kind of make this like a New Year's resolution show, but I want us to kind of think about kind of individual players or maybe even manager and just say, like, what do they need to change from their 2015 ways heading into 2016? What should their New Year's resolution be? And so I'm actually just going to pull up a list of players here, and maybe we'll just go through some of the main players, because if we go through the whole roster, I think we're going to exhaust ourselves and the listeners. So we're going to start with the infielders, and I'm just going to list off some names. And if you have anything that you think they need to change, they need to improve on, or something they need to stop doing or whatever, and it could be related to baseball, or it could be related to personal stuff, it could be related to anything that you think is fitting. You could try to be funny, just try to stay classy. So let's go. What do you think a good New Year's resolution would be for Takashi Toritani, the captain?
Well, that's a tough one.
Okay, well, I'll start then, because I've got a couple. One, start speaking. Like, talk to your teammates more. Try to be more of a vocal leader. That's what you can do to change your ways, Toritani. And maybe stop being so insistent on playing every inning of every game. I know that's important to you and all, but it's not always important to the team's success, and it's certainly not in line with the team's goal of rebuilding and developing young talent. So change your ways, Takashi. I'm just kidding. We all like you. Anyone else got anything to say? Sorry, I know you guys are both huge Toritani fans, so you might not want to say anything, right?
I don't know. I think Toritani... I know he has to step up. You know, I don't see that much of this leader thing on him. You know, it's just it's from my perspective. You know, I think he has to be more vocal. You know, I don't see that. I think he really can play, but it's not like he's, I don't know, he's fighting that much for the team. You know, like it's. He's more, I don't know, I think he has to be more vocal, you know, he has to show more, you know. I don't think, he really can play, like I said, he really can play, but it's not, I don't see that much, I don't see him being a leader, you know. I think he has to step up, yeah, for sure.
For sure, bring the fire. What do you got to say, Wiz?
Yeah, I mean, you're right, you know, vocally, he probably needs to do more. I mean, I remember last year seeing Fukudome. You know, I call Fukudome, you know, a leader who's going to step up, you know, when we need someone to step up, and and he did. But Fukudome, at times we saw him out there in the outfield with Egoshi. teaching him and telling him, you know, just pointing to certain things that he needed to focus on.
Yeah.
And I think it's where Tony Tani needs to start doing with whoever's going to replace him or the other outfielders, you know. So kind of tying it with being more vocal, more of a leader. I could agree with both of you on that.
All right, cool.
He fix that.
All right, let's move on, folks. Let's move on to this guy here, number four, Hiroki Uemoto, second base. Anything he needs to resolve to do in 2016 that he couldn't do in 2015?
Batting practice.
hitting. Specifically, is there something you didn't like about his hitting?
Well, I mean, all the Tigers had trouble hitting, you know, and I know you and I talked numerous times. How many times did they swing at balls in the dirt? You know, and all of them need hitting, but I think he just needs to improve his hitting overall. I think there was a lack of it. He just needs to work on it. You know, I can't really pinpoint one specific thing, but him and Adai, they need to just get in the batting cage. And just
why are you putting them in the same category, man? I'll tell you this.
Not same category. I'm just saying, you know, that's what they need to work
okay.
on.
Okay, well, this is what I say with Uemoto. First of all, try and stay in good health, because he broke down terribly last year, and that was something he needs to change. The other thing, Wiz, man, this is a guy that had a 19-pitch at-bat during the season, and that's a guy that, you know, even if he's swinging at bad pitches, at least he's making enough contact to foul off what, I mean, if he went 19 pitches, he probably fouled off 12, 13 pitches. So I'm not going to call him out on his batting so much. His fielding is what hurts a lot more. So I think he needs to take more fielding practice, and he needs to get healthy. He needs to just stay healthy.
Well, you never know. I mean, you're working on one side, I'm working on the other. So eventually I think he's going to be a better player this year based off our input.
Sure. What about Mauro Gomez? Number five.
Wait. I mean, he was chubby, man. That was the only thing. He needs. I think Kanemoto even gave him a diet, right, or something. Hey, in the off season, you gotta.
Yeah, in a sense, he did. Yeah, yeah. Now here's an interesting thing. It's funny you should mention that, and you're right about Kanemoto saying that. But if you look at his official weight on the team website and even on my website, it's 104 kilos, which, you know, for a guy of his girth, that's not too bad. But I read an article that said he's actually closer to 124. That's 20 kilo difference between his reported weight and his actual weight. Now, I think he looked closer to the latter during the season. He didn't look like 104 kilos, because Matt Merton is 99 kilos. And, I mean, you know, not that he's skinny either, but, you know, there's a big difference if you look at the physique of those two guys. There's no way that Mauro was only 5 kilos more than Matt. I mean, he was getting pretty big there. So, yeah, he needs to drop some weight for sure. But I would also add to that as a New Year's resolution, like, look at some of these pitches that are going in the dirt, or like, you know, I don't know how to say it, but just like, yeah, like you said, stop swinging at pitches in the dirt, for sure, man, for sure, yeah.
But you know, I would go with. You know, when Mauro Gomez started, I remember watching the preseason, and I think it was 2000 when he got to the team. It was 2014, right? Yeah. 14. So I remember watching him in preseason, and I thought it was like, oh my God, what we did, you know? I like signing this guy because he was horrible. But then he come up, It was like it was.
You're right. He was terrible in that first preseason.
Yeah, you clearly could see that he was adjusting, you know. So when the season started. Like, he was really pounding the ball, you know. He was really good. But then it was like, it's always like ups and downs, right? But at the end of the last season, I just cannot understand what happened. You know, both him and Merton, you know, I just cannot figure it out, you know, what happened to them. You know, they stopped hitting the ball. I don't get it, you know. You guys,
I don't think any of us can. Yeah, I don't think any of us can really figure that out. And, you know, it's interesting, though, that 2014, they both won titles, right? I mean, Mauro got the RBI title, and Matt got the batting average title. So both of them were kind of coming off of career highs, in a sense. And I really think that for anyone to have expected them to keep that level up, was a little bit naive, but for both of them to drop off as badly as they did, it really hurt the team. And that was a big reason that the team could not win the division or the pennant for sure, the league. So let's see what Mauro can do in 2016. I really hope that he can bounce back to his 2014 form physically and on the field as far as his performance. Let's move on. Going through the infield, looking at number 7, Tsuyoshi Nishioka. And the obvious resolution for him is to stay off the DL, you know. And certainly these four-month DL stints are just killing him because he's done them two seasons in a row now, at least 4 months in the DL for each of the past 2 years. And that's just unacceptable. I mean, if he wants to continue to get some playing time, he's just got to figure out a way to make his glass body stay intact. But anything else you guys want to say about Tsuyoshi?
It's hard for me, you know, because I won't forget, you know, it's hard to forget that last at bat of his in 2014. You know, it's hard to forget because I don't know, he's clearly was trying to play the hero, you know. I was, but it's like we don't need to talk about that right now. But it's, I don't know. I think since he was like injured with from that collision, you know, with Fukudomi in the outfield, you know, he's he's not the same at all, you know. Just so I don't know. I don't know. I think it's a wrong thing to. I remember. I think it was last year he was playing sometime in third base, right? So, it wasn't Trevor, right?
He played third base until I think it was May 23rd is when he hit the DL this year, last year.
Right. So for me, I don't think it's his position. You know, I think he's probably has to play in second base or even I don't know. I don't see him as an outfielder, but I think he has to play in. As a second baseman, you know, so
yeah, he's got to beat out Uemoto. That's got to be his New Year's resolution. Because last year in spring training, he said, "I'm going after second base," and then he had a terrible spring, and Uemoto had a great one, and so he lost out at second. And then Wada said, "You know, you know, park your butt over at third base because that's where we need you." And then he got hurt there. So, well, let's move on to the next guy on the list. We're going through the infield again, and just because I want to appease Wizzo a little bit and give him a chance to talk about his boy, Ryota Arai. Any New Year's resolutions for him, Wizzo?
Jeez. You know, there was a couple times, I think it was last year, that when he got up to the plate, I was so excited because he'd come through with like an RBI or a triple or a double or something like that, something great. That was like, you know, I think at the beginning of the year. So the second half of the year, he was extinct. He was gone. I mean, you know, and then after the season was over, I can't remember if it was you or another page that I read where he has horrible batting practice. His hitting ethic is just not there. He's not like his brother. His brother's a better hitter than he is. You know, Arai's got some things to work on, because if he's going to give Matt Haig a push for third base, let's say, for example, he's got a lot of work to put in. So he could be a really good hitter, as we've seen. He's just got to put in more effort into hitting. So
There was a joke at the fan appreciation day. Sorry to cut you off, but one of the guys said that Arai is one of the most vain players on the team. And he, Fukudome said it. He said he actually spends just as much time practicing his bat toss as he does practicing his bat swings. And that was probably said in jest, but it's just kind of a funny indication of who he is.
Yeah. So with that, he's got to work on his defensive skills are not there, but they're there, but they're not as Imanati. So he's got to work on his defensive skills, and he's got to work on much more batting to be more effective, not this one flash in a pan like Saka was that time.
Well, Ryota, you know, he's the kind of guy that he's never going to win the position based on his defensive skills. He's going to win it because of his bat, and his bat wasn't there last year, like you said. I was just looking at the data here real quick, and he definitely did not. He had a terrible July and a terrible September, for sure. Like his, for that matter, you know, he didn't really have a great month other than May, which was good but not great. But you know, when your on base percentage is under 250 for 4 out of the 6 months, that's on base percentage. Something's wrong. So yeah. Definitely, Arai, you got to get that bat going because you're not going to do it with your defense either.
Yeah. So can I can I ask you guys a question? So if you have to like to choose to pinch hit any hitter, right?
Yep.
What guy you would choose? You know, like would you pick Arai or Sekimoto?
Oh, to come in any pinch hit situation, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I would pick Sekimoto in a heartbeat. Although, I think if I needed a home run, I would pick Arai, and that would just be like, you know what I mean? Like, if it was kind of like an all or nothing, you know, one at bat is going to determine the game and we need a home run or nothing, I would go with Arai. But otherwise, I would go with Sekimoto for sure.
Yeah.
How about you, Wiz?
I don't know. Arai can get a double, like, along the lines of what you're saying, if we needed a home run, might be better getting Sekimoto. It might be better getting Sekimoto just because Arai is... I don't know, man. I could see him getting a double for us. You know, like, hey, a two-run double. Great, Arai, you're the man. I don't know. Maybe I'd Sekimoto on the home run just because Arai didn't impress me that much with his home runs that he hit. They were there, but... not when we needed him, I'll just say that.
For the record, although he didn't play all that much in the towards the end of the year, Sekimoto had an on-base percentage of over 500 from August and beyond.
Wow.
Now, his batting average wasn't quite there, but his on-base percentage was over 500. And, you know, this is just as a pinch hitter, but that's why I say you got to go with Sekimoto in almost all situations. He didn't hit any home runs. Actually, this year, he didn't have anything but singles. But, you know, he had plenty of those. He also walked a lot. And then he actually, he took a pitch on the hands for a walk-off dead ball, I guess you would call it in Japanese, right, at the start of the season. So, I mean, he's a guy that you can count on, man. Yeah. I love Sekimoto, and we're going to miss him a lot.
Yeah, for sure. I think he's so clutch.
Let's move on with our... Yeah, definitely a clutch guy for sure. Let's move on in our resolutions here. And since we just did Arai, let's go with Imanari now, the other Ryota. Any resolutions for him, Wiz, or Fernando?
I don't know. I think he has to... I don't know. It's hard for me to tell. You know, I really like him. I don't think he has to improve that much. I think he has to... Maybe batting, I think is. But I really like Imanari. You know, I don't really have any. I don't know. It's hard to tell. You know, I don't see Imanari improving that much. You know, I really think he's playing really well. You know.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think,
Wizzo? What you got?
I think he struck out a lot last year. I was trying to pull up the site and can't remember the name of it, but there was times where he just struck out in bad positions. Bases loaded, even though he's up, you know, it's a whiff.
Well, I've got some numbers for you here, Wiz, and you're not wrong. He had 76 hits on the year because he started the year on the DL and then he didn't play full-time because of WADA insisting on having right-handed batters against left-handed pitchers. But 76 hits to 78 strikeouts. And so my personal take is that if you strike out more than you get base hits, yeah, you strike out too much. And so you're right about that, Wiz. I'll give you that.
Yeah, that was just the times I remember, like, oh, two men on, you know, and one out until Imanari or I don't want to say the name, until Imanari gets up and hits into a double play. So, you know, it was, I think, strikeouts, you know, maybe... I don't know, maybe learning the pitcher, you know, studying the opposing pitchers more will help him, you know, get hits instead of strikeouts. You know, maybe he'll be able to understand which pitches to swing at and which to just let go. I don't know. I think it's just strikeouts, you know, getting up there and hitting more.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you that, and I'll also add to that. You're right that in remembering that he blew it with men in scoring position or men, you know, with bases loaded or whatever, because just looking at this, he finished the year batting .283, which is pretty good. It's actually tops on the team, even though he didn't qualify for batting title. But with runners in scoring position, he batted .236. And his RBI total on the year, so again, he had 76 hits, right? 68 of them were singles, which is, you know, that's like Ichiro, pretty much, right? And his RBI total on those 76 hits is 16. So really, I mean, this is a guy that in the clutch, he needs to get it done.
Yep.
I'm with you, Fernando. I really like Imanadi. In fact, I got his number put on my jersey last season, as I mentioned on a podcast. That's how much I think of him. But yeah, he needs to hit for a little bit more power, which means swing a little bit more confidently. Because even Wiz, like you mentioned with his strikeouts, sometimes when he whiffed, man, he looked like he was kind of really hesitant to swing. Like when he swung and missed on strike three, it was like a half-hearted swing. Or sometimes he'd stand there and look at strike three, and then you'd see the look on his face, and he'd be like, I should have swung at that. And so definitely, like, he just needs to have a better what do you call it? Like, he just needs to be able to determine better whether to swing or not. And then when he does, just swing, you know what I mean? Like, not necessarily swing for the fences, but just swing with authority. So, you know, definitely, man, he does not need to improve in the field. His glove is amazing and his instincts are awesome. But get that bat going, bring it up a notch, and you're going to be knocking Haig out of third base, maybe. You know, you never know. It's going to be interesting. All right, well, let's move out of the infield and go to the outfield now, or at least guys that qualified to outfield last year. So first we'll look at Yamato. Guys, New Year's resolutions for Yamato.
I don't know. I think for me, he's the player. No, I really like him. I don't think... Yeah, so going back to what I said, you know, I don't think he needs to change positions. You know, I think him... I really like him playing center field. You know, I don't think he has to go for second base. You know, I don't really think that. I don't leave it there for Nishioka or for Uemoto. I think he really made some incredible catches. You know, like, I don't know, he really played his part. You know, like, I don't think he has to change at all.
Oh, I'll tell you what he has to change. This is my New Year's resolution for you, Yamato, in case you're listening, which you're not because you probably don't understand English. But I would say your New Year's resolution should be, I will hit my second career home run in 2016. Now, Fernando, I agree with you about his defensive prowess in center field, and he is excellent at that. But, you know, I just find it hard to cheer for a guy who only has one home run on his career stats. And I think this is a guy that I heard in practice he was actually hitting the ball over the fence. So he does have the ability, I suppose, but maybe he just needs to change his swing or something. Or he needs to start trying to do more than just poking the ball through the infield or whatever. Like, swing bigger or sit down is what I say to him. What about you, Iz?
Maybe he needs to go to Gold's Gym in Osaka.
Or maybe down in Kyushu where he's from, who knows, yeah. Definitely, yeah, hit the gym a little bit, put a bit more meat on those bones, sure. You know, he's coming in at 68 kilos, and that might even be dripping wet, you never know.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Holy cow.
Yeah, he's a little guy. He's actually the second lightest on the team as far as regulars go, because I think Uemoto, I'm just going to look it up, Uemoto is 64 kilos, but Uemoto can actually hit the ball with a bit more authority. Okay, let's move on to Fukudome, number 8. He's also in the outfield. Any resolutions that you would have for Kosuke Fukudome?
Don't get hurt. That's my resolution.
Sure.
Yeah, don't get hurt. I think he's very important in the lineup, you know. Don't stay out of it, you know. Just don't get hurt, stay healthy, and keep pounding the ball.
Super important. Yeah, good stuff, good stuff. Wiz, got anything to add?
You know, for Fukudome, you know, as I said it last year, you know, I saw him as a leader of the team, you know, so it's not so much what he has to do at the plate or in the outfield. I think what he needs to do is start mentoring the younger guys. I mean, we know he's going to be pretty much a solid performer. You know, not the greatest, not the worst. He's going to be a solid performer throughout the year. But my thing is, when he leaves, what's he going to leave behind? Is he going to leave behind someone taking his place that has no clue, or someone who he educated, mentored, you know, about right field or about hitting or something along those lines? So
yeah, sure.
I think he just needs to mentor his replacement, or at least mentor the outfielders who are coming up and saying, hey, this is what you need to do because this might be my last year.
Well, you're right. I mean, he's turning 39 in April, so certainly I would say his resolution for 2016 should be finding the fountain of youth one more time for the sake of the Tigers. But I like what you said, Wiz, about finding somebody that he can kind of bring up to replace him. And interestingly, I'm just looking at the roster now, and I see a lot of young guys and a lot of names that, you know, if these guys end up developing as expected, we could have a pretty awesome outfield, you know, for the next decade or so. Because we got our first round pick last November, Takayama. We've got Yokota, who's been hyped for a while. He was a high school draft pick in 2014, I believe it was, or 2013, winter of 2013. We've got Taiga Egoshi. We've got Hayata Ito, who some people laugh at, but, you know, he might turn the corner as well. We've got Nakatani, who's also just 20. He just turned 23 a few days ago. Happy birthday. And then we got Itayama, who we drafted this past November as well. We've got Ogata, who's 25, going on 26 this year. So we've got, like, a lot of young players that are expected to do great things. It's just a matter of developing them, and that's really what I hope that Kakefu and Kanemoto can do over the next couple of years. So, yeah, if Fukudome can help with that, that'd be great. Let's move on, actually. Let's actually move right to Taiga Egoshi, and have you got any advice for him in 2016 or a new resolution for him? I will say this. Man needs to learn how to swing properly, because even though he kind of made a splash and he hit, you know, 5 home runs and he looked really good up there for a rookie, I heard Yano talking on a lot of the play-by-plays during the games, and Yano was saying, man, I think he's getting lucky when he's connecting with these pitches because he can't even hit a fastball properly, and that's a problem. So I really think that Egoshi needs to work on his swing. But have you got any other advice or any other resolutions for the man?
He needs more discipline. Or he probably needs to get himself in shape too, because I remember reading a newspaper online where I guess Kanemoto had put him and a few others through a workout. I guess he hand selected, you know, some people.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of them, and he said, like, at the end of the day, he couldn't even move his arms. And understanding that's after a year of playing, you know, a season of baseball.
That's after going through drills from an Ironman too, though.
Yeah, you know, but he's young. He should say, hey, you know, I'm not bad or something. He should be, you know, be able to not be worn out that fast. I just think he needs more discipline at the plate, and I think he needs to concentrate more on being a better hitter.
Fernando, anything to add?
What's that?
Have you got anything to add about Egoshi?
I don't think so. I agree with you guys. Maybe more discipline, you know, and get fit. That's it.
All right, cool. Well, let's move to catchers, and we're actually going to have to leave pitchers for another show because we're coming up on time here. But our two main catchers carrying over from last year, we won't talk about the other guys necessarily, but we'll start with the veteran, Kazunari Tsuruoka. And have you got any New Year's resolutions for him?
I think being him a veteran, you know, he has to, try to talk with the Umeno and try to make him, like, just give him some instructions, you know. Like, I think it was after Fuji retirement, I think he has to step up as a veteran catcher and try to dictate, you know, how it's going to be, you know, like, maybe, I don't know. It's pretty much it. You know, just trying to step up as a veteran.
Okay, Wiz.
Yeah, he needs. Okay, you know we have Umeno. I like Umeno. I think he's one of those like tough guys that are going to really, you know, 1 year he's just going to bust out, and I think he's going to take off from there. Tsuruoka, you know, he's not going to get the 35 home runs a year. So, he needs to make sure that Umeno's ready to go. Kind of like what I said with Fukudome. I think that's the role Tsuruoka plays, because eventually Umeno's going to catch Fujinami, Iwata, Messenger. You never know. So as a person who's been playing the position for a while, he's got to bring those new guys in and start teaching them.
I'm surprised you didn't tell me that his New Year's resolution was to speed up his bat swing or his swing, because
yeah,
that was laid out for you, man. Right. And you were complaining about it all of last year. Anyways, that'll be mine. And then also the other one is start blocking some balls, buddy, because there's been a few that passed by you that really shouldn't have, and it really made the pitchers look bad. So that's it for him. And let's move on to Umeno then. He's the last guy that we're going to talk about on this show. My resolution for him is honestly to, I think he needs to just be a little bit more vocal, a little bit more determined, and saying, this position is mine and I'm taking it. Because I think he's kind of been a little bit timid about that. Yeah. And he's just kind of said, well, I'm still growing, I'm still learning. And, you know, I hope someday I can be the main catcher. But look, man, we just drafted Sakamoto with our second pick. And he's coming after you. I mean, he's already said, I hope to become team captain. I hope to catch Randy Messenger. You know, I hope that I'm going to be loved by the Tigers fans for many years to come. So, I mean, he's already got like a grand vision for his career. But it seems like Umeno doesn't really have a vision for his career, or like, hey, I'm going to go down in Tigers history as a great catcher that they haven't had since Yano retired. You know, and I think that's really what what Umeno has to do.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think he's pretty much in the field. He's pretty much like, okay, guys, I'm the prospect. I'm the number one prospect, you know, like the catcher right now. But I don't really know what I'm doing here. So I don't know. you know, so it's pretty much like everybody already loves him. But it's not like he's, yeah. I don't know, it's just like he's not a big player yet, you know, like a major leaguer. You know, it's like he's very timid, you know, he's not that vocal, and everyone already loves him, because we know that, actually, I really like him, but because we know that in the future, he's gonna be like a huge catcher, that's what I think, but actually, the future is now, right, so he has to step up, he has to show, like, his abilities, and I really think he has to be like you said, like, I'm going to be the captain of this team, you know, I don't know, and show up, you know.
2016 has to be the year that he forces Tsuruoka into retirement, where Tsuruoka is like, I can't play anymore because Umeno is getting all the playing time, you know what I mean? That's what kind of year it has to be for Umeno, I think. But what do you got, Wizzo? Got any words for us?
Yeah, he might be a guy who studies. And what I mean by studies is he sits back and he watches how, you know, Sudo and Fuji, you know, how they catch, how they direct traffic, so to speak, or, you know, how they relay signals. He might be waiting for that time where it's like, okay, I got a feel, now I can actually start saying something, you know. Whereas you sometimes have those guys that come out and they start talk, and next thing you know, it's like, do you even know what you're doing? It's, you know, kind of the foot in the mouth kind of thing, but I don't know, that might be the way he is. As I said, you know, just a few minutes ago, I like Umeno. I think he's a tough guy. I think he's going to be a really good catcher for the long run. So, yeah, I think that time will come. I think maybe this is the year that he's feeling better about his position and can open up a little bit more.
Let's see it happen for sure. Well, hey, we didn't get a chance to touch on any of the pitchers, but before we wrap up today's show, I just want to add that the Hanshin Tigers officially signed Marcos Mateo to a contract. He's a Dominican guy. He's 31 years old, and he played with the Padres in the major leagues last year. He'll be wearing number 38, and he looks to be a prime candidate to close. And we'll see what happens. Kanemoto has said the position is not absolutely his, but I hope to see him as our closer. And so we're going to see what happens, but it's good to have another foreigner on the roster like that. And so now we're up to five, right? We've got Gomez, Haig,
Messenger,
Perez, and Mateo. Yep. Right. Yep. Let's not forget about Perez. You know, he may end up being kind of this dark horse guy that ends up coming through for us. Anyways, so Mateos is with the team. We've three of our five foreigners are Dominicans. Kind of interesting. So we definitely need some Spanish interpreters on the team for this year and beyond. All right. Well, let's just wrap things up with just a little bit of news on the H10 front. For many of you, you may know that I did a Kickstarter campaign during December, and it was successfully funded. So thank you so much to all my supporters and pledgers out there. We've got those funds coming in, and I plan to use those really just to develop the website, but also to use that as a resource to be able to get to more games or to be able to do more in order to have a better quality coverage. So we're going to see where that leads us in the new year. But just as far as a podcast goes, over the next 2 months before the preseason starts, I'm hoping to have a guest from each of the other Central League teams. Not someone that's with the actual teams, but somebody that's blogging for the teams. And so I've got a few of those lined up already. So we've got a guy representing the Carp, a guy representing the Dragons, and a guy representing the Bay Stars. And I think I've got a guy on the Swallows as well. So I'm looking for a Giants fan. Feel weird saying that, but anyways, we're hoping to have some guys on the show just to talk about their teams and what they've done in the off season and what their outlook is for 2016. Because before we start, you know, crowning the Tigers as the team to beat or the team that's on the rise, we have to know that there might be other teams on the rise too, and that might result in the Tigers not actually rising. So we're going to talk to those guys. But also, one of the things I'm most excited about, and I think I plugged this last time, was I want to do like a little fantasy baseball league just with the Hanshin Tigers players and just with maybe four or six guys or ladies where we draft Hanshin Tigers players and then their stats in real games count for our personal fantasy teams, and we'll see who drafted the best team. And so I'll talk more detail in an upcoming show, but you know, it's funny, at the start of every show, I kind of wonder, like, do we have enough material to talk and to make a full show? And then before I know it, we've talked too much, and we've gone over time, and we haven't covered everything we hoped. And so I hope to be back next week again with you, Wiz, and Fernando. I mean, if you're free, it'd be great to have you back. But if not, sure. You know, it was wonderful having you on today's show. Thank you so much for helping us out, not just with today's show, but like I said, for the past 18 months, you've been a solid supporter, and I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, guys. Thank you. I'm always available if you let me in. I'm going for it.
Cool, man. Wizzo, it's good to have you with me as always again. You know, this is episode 16, but you know, we might go 50 episodes this year. You never know, man. So we might be up to like episode 65 by the end of this year. But Wiz, I hope to have you with me all along the way, man, just like you have been so far.
Yeah, end of January would be kind of crazy for me. I'll be moving from one house to another, so yeah, I should be pretty much available. Yeah, any Sunday really. I mean, Sunday is probably the best day to do a podcast. But either way, I'll be here, you know, as often as I can be.
Excellent. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, once again, if you ever need to reach us for any reason with a question or a comment, or you know, if you want to be on the show or anything like that, email us. podcast@thehanshintigers.com. You can reach me on Twitter @thehanshintiger. You can reach Wizzo on Twitter. Go ahead.
I'm on Twitter @Wizzo, WHIZOH. All one word.
There you go. And despite O leaving the team, he's sticking with O in his name. So hopefully that won't bring you any bad luck, buddy. All right. Well, it's been a great show. And once again, Happy New Year to everybody. Let's hope 2016 is a great year for all. Go Tigers, go, and check you next time. This has been H10.